pirate is a wretched thing. Do what you want, cause a pirate is free. You are a pirate.
Good morning. Hey, how you doing today, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 527 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. Welcome. Good morning, Monday. Happy Easter. Happy April Fool's Day. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. I had a good weekend. I'm ready to do this.
Did you have a nice holiday? Did the Easter Bunny come to see you?
Unfortunately, he didn't. I may have been naughty. I think Santa told him that I didn't deserve Christmas and I do not deserve Easter. I think it does. I think they're both working in cahoots.
I've always heard that, you know, if you're rotten, as you usually are, Mike, you generally don't get, you know, things from Santa Claus. But I didn't know that the Easter Bunny worked in that way as well.
I think the Easter Bunny and Santa, they both have it out for meat this year. They're both salty.
Unless this is some kind of April Fool's joke, which I'm not falling for.
Nope.
I've already been tried to be taken advantage of today. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. How was your weekend, Derpy?
It was great. Had a decent Easter. Went to Denny's.
Did you go to Denny's?
Yep.
You didn't do you didn't do ham at home. Nobody baked ham
No, unfortunately.
All right, that's all right. You always got next year.
If there's a next
year. Yeah, this April Fool's Day, I got up this morning and you know, Ralph, who stops by the show every once in a while, he was already texting me that he canceled his radio show at the station, blah, 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 blah.
No.
Luckily, I'm a little bit smarter than that. Just a little bit. Not much. Just a little bit smarter than that. I picked up on it immediately. I said, Ralph, this has April Fool's Day written all over it. I'm not buying into your tricks. And it was ultimately an April Fool's Day joke. So joke's on you.
So you're smarter than the average bear?
I am smarter than the average bear. I liked it when I was a kid. I loved April Fool's Day. I loved playing pranks on people. Mm-hmm. I loved tricking folks, but I don't do it anymore. I don't know why. I don't know, because it doesn't prevent people from doing it to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so I might as well just be, April fooling it up, but I just don't. I don't know.
You should. April fools it up.
Maybe when I get older, maybe when I grow up. I'll do it.
Oh, God, you grow up. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
But it is, everybody. It's April Fool's Day. I hope everybody had a safe Easter holiday. Derpy went to Denny's.
I made a ham.
Mike didn't get no Easter
I didn't
basket.
Get an Easter basket, but I did bake a ham. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
All right, there you go.
I'm jealous of you, Mike. You got the ham.
Well, Derpy, you should be jealous of me. I mean, look at me. Who wouldn't be jealous of this?
Bald
and beautiful, baby.
Bald.
Guys are haters today.
I want to give a special shout out to the ladies from the Paranormal Mavericks.
Yes.
They came by on Saturday. We did a special episode. It was really good. They got to come on, talk about what it is they do. I thought it was very interesting. I took a lot away from it. I do want to make an announcement that it took a little longer to get it over to Spotify in podcast form because it was the weekend, but it is over on Spotify. If you want to go check that out in podcast form, you can go over to Spotify at any time and pull that up. And, you know, and as I always say, you could be wherever you're at work, at the gym, taking a walk, put your earbuds in, and you can listen to that special episode from Saturday. And it was the ladies from the Paranormal Mavericks, which it was a great time talking to them.
It was really good time.
They do a lot of great things, you know, for what they do. They don't just go out and search for things for their own curiosity. They also can help you if you're having problems at your house, if you feel that there's some kind of, just an evil entity in your house, maybe like a dark cloud over your home. Give them a call. They could come and check it out and, you know, at least cleanse the place and find out if that's it. They do a lot of cool things. You can go check them out right here on YouTube. They have their live from their very first investigation up. I would suggest and recommend go check them out. I think you'd like them a lot. The four ladies, Dawn, Terry, Danielle, and Shay, were really awesome. It was great talking to them. And I can't wait to hear back from them. Like, I want to see some
Yeah,
more
me
whenever
too.
they, because they, you know, I know Dawn, we know her from the show. She's been on before, but her friends, it's kind of new to them. So I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out for them, ladies.
Yeah.
And I want to hear some of the stories and the good things, the bad things, all the things. I want to hear them all.
Me too. Me too.
So go check them out,
Check
everybody.
it out.
Paranormal Mavericks. You could go back to the episode always and look up the sources for everything. They have all their social media, they have all their places that they are, their addresses, their phone numbers, contact them, and all that stuff. So I hope you enjoy it. As I said,
Yes.
it is now in podcast form as well, not just video here on YouTube. You can go over to Spotify at any time and check it out.
Check it out.
Guys, it's another Bucks and Pucks day. We got the Pirates back in action today, which I gotta say, I have bucko fever. I just don't know if I can stand up straight. And also the Penguins back in action tonight. A lot of things going on. We had the NCAA March Madness continuing for the weekend. We had UFL football kicking off for the weekend. The ladies back at it tonight in college basketball. Caitlin Clark with the rematch against Angel Reese and the LSU Tigers.
Oh, that's the game of the night for me.
These girls are—they're going at it. It's going to be. This is the Elite Eight weekend, part of the weekend for the ladies. They're going to be sorting it out tonight to see who goes to the Final Four. Again, the big one, in my opinion, is going to be Iowa, Caitlin Clark in Iowa versus Angel Reese in the LSU Tigers. And then the other big game today is also going to be UConn versus USC on the ladies' side. And if you're watching any of these college hoops, you'll know that those are two pretty good teams as well. But we're going to get to more of them in just a moment, guys. There's nothing I want to talk about more today than these red hot Pittsburgh Pirates. This Pittsburgh Pirates team, guys, is 4-0. They came out and swept. They came out and swept the Miami Marlins. I got to say, I was expecting a good weekend. I was. I've been monitoring this team and the guys they've brought in the offseason, and the starting pitching was where I was a little skeptical going into. However, the starting pitching was fantastic, and the bullpen was fantastic, and the bats were fantastic. And the Pittsburgh Pirates, along with only three other teams, are sitting with an undefeated record. Pirates and the Yankees both have 4-0 records. The Brewers and the Tigers both have 3-0 records. Of course, the Brewers is going to have a good season whenever we have a good season. It only plays that way. It's only ever played that way. I've never seen
Yes.
the Pirates ever have a good season when the Brewers weren't right on their asses. But both teams are off to an undefeated start. Derpy, unfortunately, the Indians, the Guardians, I'm sorry, they fell
I don't
off
want to talk
yesterday.
about it.
Well, they were
Yeah,
3-0.
Derpy, what happened, man? What happened?
I was excited to make it a whole thing, and I was gonna have Derpy go scrape the World Series tickets out of the bottom of the dumpster, and
Yeah.
this whole thing, and the matchup, the Pittsburgh to Cleveland, but Cleveland fell off. They lost one yesterday. What happened, Derpy?
The manager.
Uh-oh, what'd he do? Did he overthrow a pitch?
He
Did he
called for a bunt.
overrun the bag?
A call for a bunt in a bad situation.
But if it would have
Yes.
worked, though, it would have
It would have
probably
been
been
genius play.
genius. Yeah.
See,
But it,
all weekend long from Derpy. I was getting messages about the Buccos this, Buccos that. I'm like, is Derpy secretly a Bucco fan now? Because his
damn right he
Guardians aren't
is.
playing too well. I think Derpy's becoming
Yeah,
a
when you get
Bucco
bucko
fan.
fever, you get bucko fever. There's nothing you can do
You
about it. I just.
Derpy, there's plenty of room on the bandwagon, especially now, and probably by All-Star break, there'll be even more room because depending on how this team plays, we might jump off, back off. But right now, Derpy, there's plenty of room, but it is filling up fast. So jump on board, bud.
And I got to tell you too
I
about
might have to.
this bandwagon thing. I think most people in Pittsburgh are secretly Pittsburgh Pirates fans, but they don't admit it until the team is doing well.
Yeah, because we've dealt with we had that 21-year losing streak, whatever it was. We stuck around through it. I watched all those losing seasons. I watched the nice little wild card runs that we had, but I'm not the uber pirate fan that waves the flag all the time, but I've watched this team ever since I can remember. It's about the same time I've watched the Steelers and the Penguins. But give me a reason to root for you. I will be, I'll be your biggest, supporter. But this team really hasn't. So that's right now. I'm kind of hesitant. Last year I think we jumped the gun. We were really excited,
Well, I
21
don't
and
think that
8.
we were at 20-8. I mean, that gives you a reason to get
That gives you
excited.
reason. Gives you reason. But we should have known. We should have known something would have happened because that's what happens with our Buccos. This year, I'm hedging my bets. I'm hedging my bets. I'm optimistic. I'm excited. I don't know if I'm going to go overboard just yet. I probably will
Oh, you're going to go
if they
overboard,
keep
and
rolling.
I'm going to tell you why.
If they run off like series wins, they don't have to sweep all the time. But win
Oh,
series,
that's
I will be.
absolutely. Listen. My problem with the Pirates is this. I'm too honest of a person because I'm gonna tell you off quite often that they stink. And it's
Yeah.
not because I don't like them. It's not because I hate the team. It's not because I'm just too honest. And when they stink, I'm gonna tell you they stink. But at the end of the day, if you ask me if I am a fan, I am a fan. And I
Yeah.
will tell you that every year as well. But just like anything else, it's hard to really get into unless they're competitive. When your team is at the
Yep.
bottom, your team loses all the time. I don't care who you are, it's hard to root for that team. And I think that's what it is with a lot of these fans. I think they're Pirate fans ultimately. I really do. I think that everybody wants to see this team play better and be more successful. However, it's hard to do when your team stinks.
Yep.
But guys, as Mike said last year, they started 20-8. So far, they're off to a great start. They're 4-0. They swept the Marlins by scores of this weekend, 6-5. 7-2, 9-3, and then 9-7 yesterday. That's a total of 29 runs
Yeah.
in the first weekend of play. A lot of the question was going to be, is the are the bats going to carry over from the spring training league
And
because
they
they were
have.
red hot in spring training. We know this. And the one thing that we heard everybody say is, well, can they continue to do this? Derpy says it the best when he says it's a 162 game season. It's a very long, hot summer. There's ups, there's downs. I mean, as well as I do, you go to work, you don't want to, you don't have the energy to give it your all every day. And that's a human, that's
Yep.
a human thing. So, when you look at it, you can only look at what they've done so far. Guys, this is only the fourth time in the past 40 years that the Pirates have started 4-0. Fourth time in 40 years that they've started 4-0. Again,
Set
they
your calendars to it, boys. Set your calendars to it.
Book those World
29.
Series tickets.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna have you digging this. I'm gonna have you scraping them out of the bottom of the dumpster by the end of the show, Derpy. So you just relax over
Maybe he can find some batteries for his smoke detector.
there.
Yeah.
I thought about that the other day. The thing about Derpy's smoke detector, some days you hear it a lot, and then other days you don't hear it at all. So I wonder, does he fix it and maybe take the batteries out for something else? Because some days I don't hear it at all.
I know. And today I've heard it ever since like he's hopped onto the call. Even I didn't even have my headset on. I didn't sit it next to me working on the blog post, and all I'm hearing is chirp, chirp. Chirp. I'm like, this guy.
It
That's the
makes you,
new
like I said, I
headset.
mean, someday it doesn't do it at all. So
Yeah.
what's he doing? You need batteries, Derpy.
Probably.
All right, well.
I'll FedEx you some. I'll UPS you some. I'll Amazon you some. Whatever we need, buddy. I got you.
So over the weekend, we also my the big thing I thought was from this weekend with the Pirates guys was the pitching. The pitching was amazing. It was amazing. I thought to my except for yesterday.
Yeah, I was gonna
Let
say, I know we're getting there.
let me paint the picture here.
No, paint the pit. Go ahead, Bob
Because Mitch
Ross.
Keller came out, he didn't have the most great, he didn't have the best start
Yeah.
ever, but we win this game. The games in the middle, Perez and Jones,
Oh,
the
yeah.
starts we got from them guys were just they were amazing.
Yeah.
And then yesterday this Bailey Falter, which I can't even understand how this guy's in the rotation. You
How
have
is he in the
guys
major leagues?
like Ortiz that last year had, he had mild success with the Pirates,
Yeah.
yet he's still in the bullpen. And somebody like Bailey Falter, who came over from Philly with an 0-7 record last year, finished with a 2-9 record, makes his way into the rotation on a rotation that, again, we're seeing is pretty good. How this happened, I don't know. And how these things tend to go is they don't ever make an immediate change. They let it
No.
play for a while to
Oh,
see if he
yeah.
gets better. And I just know Bailey Falter. He stinks. I mean, he's a lefty. This is the reason they like him. But at the end of the day, this guy has not shown anything to show that he doesn't stink. Mike, we were down 5-0 in the first inning yesterday. Lucky that this team could hit this year, got us back into the game, and we got a victory out of it. But we were down 5-0 in the first inning.
Like that lineup in, and you know, the pitcher, like someone I saw on Twitter said, it's like this game has forfeit written all over it. This game has forget about the sweep written all over it. Luckily, you know, our bats were able to come back and in the bullpen bailed us out. Luckily, we have a decent bullpen,
We have an amazing
amazing
bullpen
bullpen. Yeah,
so
luckily
far.
they were able to bail us out. So that's my one big concern about this Pirate team. Like when they can go for the sweep, stack wins early. We saw last year, stack those wins early. So when you do falter, you have that backup there. Our, you know, Ben Sher or my God, his name just escaped my mind. I almost called him Clint Hurdle because that's how bad he is. You know, like the manager just makes some boneheaded decisions sometimes. I don't get it. Don't overthink yourself. Go for the sweep. Start off on the on a great note. You
I
know,
never like these
that's only
Sunday
the first
games
four games
because
in. Get
on
all your
Sunday
starters out
games,
there.
you always get the B team. And I hate that because you played, you know, literally to that point, you played 3 games, which are 3 hours. You played 9 hours and you're already giving your stars the day off. You give
I
O'Neal
can,
Cruz, you give
yeah.
Henry Davis, you give Andrew McCutchen all the day. I mean, meanwhile, all the other guys, they're still playing.
Yeah.
And
Like, I
I
can
know that
understand.
they would have been willing to put O'Neal Cruz in a pinch situation and the things like this. But this, it's typical. It's Sunday baseball. I
I
hate it.
hate it.
And you can't listen, if you're gonna do it, play a game where you're gonna give your guys breaks, like which you know you do eventually, but not 3 days in. But anyway,
In the
you're gonna
dog
do it on a
days of
day
summer,
that you
do
don't
it.
have Bailey Falter on the mound.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it was almost you're getting ready to watch this game, and I thought that you know they've already thrown in the towel here. You're going
Like,
Bailey Falter, and you have your best hitters out. This I hate that. Is there no
did you
better
sign
way?
him?
Is there no better way to handle that situation than to go the route that they did? Because and 9 out of 10 times, this is that game yesterday is a loss.
And like I said, they're lucky the offense was able to, you know, like you said, carry over what they did in the in spring training to now. But yeah, like I, you know, I was doing stuff throughout the day and I didn't have time to watch the full game. When you told me about that first inning, I'm like, game's over at this point. And then I tuned back in. I was like, oh my God, we were only down by 2 runs, and then they scrapped them battle their way back. And that's the encouraging sign. Like the team didn't give up, you know, the bullpen didn't give up, the batters didn't give up. They battled through all their at bats. They clawed their way back in, but it should not have been that. We should have a legitimate fifth starter. I understand your fifth starter is not going to be, you know, a dominant pitcher, but we can find someone better than Bailey Falter. I don't know, maybe a first round draft pick who just won a College World Series that people say is going to be the next great thing. Maybe play him as your fifth starter.
Well, we are waiting for our fifth starter to pitch today. That's going to be Marco
Or,
Gonzalez
oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah,
out
fourth
in his
starter. He
debut.
can't be any worse. Falter should be
However,
the fifth.
there are some good things going on in the minor leagues, which we're going to talk about, which should fix these last two positions eventually. Not just yet, but there were some good signs that came out of the
Yes,
minors this
a couple good
weekend.
signs.
But I'm going to talk about this bullpen first, Mike. Let me give you some specs on the bullpen play from this opening series against the Marlins. Mike, this bullpen over the weekend by record was 3-0. They pitched 20.1 innings. They gave up 8 hits. They had 21 strikeouts,
Ooh,
and they only gave up
21.
two earned runs. They've gave up 2 earned runs.
Wow.
Mike,
That's some good depth there.
that's as good as it gets. Also, you know what else is fascinating? Let me speaking about pitching. All 4 games, the Marlins threw lefties against us. Which again, sometimes I know that teams do this because we have Jack Suwinski and they like to neutralize him by putting a lefty in there, which you know it happened, but I don't know if it was as effective as they wanted it to be. But they have, you know, they had 4 starting left-handed pitchers. And what's even more fascinating is today in our first game against the Washington Nationals, Mackenzie Gore is also a left-handed pitcher. I don't know, I can't, I don't know, but I wonder how many times this has happened to where a team faced 5 lefties to start the season. As I go down the chart, if they eventually get the right-handers tomorrow, or they're going to be off tomorrow, but on Wednesday. So, Mike, have you ever seen a team get 5 straight southpaws to start a season?
I have not to go. I can't recall this ever happening. You know, maybe when I, you know, used to play, you know, Major League Baseball, and on the Xbox and the computer, your five lefties, but in real life, no, I can't say I've ever seen this happen. I don't think that
Me
teams have
either.
that many left-handed starters to begin with. That's
Right.
insane.
And then following up in the series, between, because today's going to be Marco
Yeah.
Gonzalez, he's going to have his debut against Mackenzie Gore. Wednesday, when they get back to action after the day off, they're going to be pitching their right-handed pitcher Trevor Williams, and then they're going to be pitching Josiah Gray, and we're going to be pitching Mitch Keller against Williams, and then Martin Perez versus Gray. It will be Trevor Williams's first game, but Josiah Gray, he's 0-1 with a 15.75 ERA from the first weekend of baseball. I'm liking this Washington team. They're coming in with a 1-2 record. They're not looking too good. I'm hoping we could steal a couple of wins. If we could get two
Yeah.
out of three in this series, come
Yep.
home, open up Friday against Baltimore. You're sitting pretty with a what would they be? The 6-1 if they could win two out of three.
Yeah.
And then that would be two consecutive series wins to start the
Yep.
week or the season, which I think is an amazing thing. A long way to go. One more time, as Derpy would say, there's 162 games, but if you could go into your
One
come home,
fifty-eight.
if you could go into your home game, your home series, your home opener with a 6-1 record, I think that you could match. You're looking at last season, Mike. You're already starting to look at that and
Yeah.
say, because you got to figure this team at this point last year was only 2-2. The Pittsburgh
Yeah.
Pirates were 2-2 after four games
Look
last
at,
year,
yeah.
and they managed to be 20-8 after
Yeah.
April.
Yeah. Last year, they were looking like typical Buccos to start out. And they went on the heater. And right now, like I'm liking the way this team's playing. Like I said, we just got it. You have two pitchers in the minors. I know you're gonna start talking about them. I don't want to, step on the segue there, but they gotta address that fourth pitching spot big time. Just because he's a lefty doesn't mean he should be starting. He should not be in the major leagues. I'm sorry, this guy should be down in the minors. He is that bad.
I
But
think
because he's
ultimately
a
this
lefty, he's going
problem,
to be able to keep playing. Like, he
I
shouldn't
think
even be in the
ultimately this
bullpen.
problem fixes itself
I
because the
hope
guys
so.
in the minors are going to be working their way up. I think the guys in the minors are already better and would fare better
Yeah.
than B Bailey Falter
Yeah.
was able
Did
to.
you
I
sign
mean,
him?
What do you mean, sign him? We traded
Or
for
did
him.
you already have him?
We already had
We
him.
traded for him? We
Last
came
year,
over.
Derpy, didn't you listen to the segment? Ryan said we traded for him and he was 0-7 in Philly. And he was 2-9 at the end of the year with us.
Maybe the fire
Jeez.
alarm.
Yeah,
Maybe the
but I think
fire
the fire
alarm.
alarm was,
Was.
yeah.
And
Yeah.
the thing was, when he came over, I couldn't understand the fascination. It was like we got Bailey Falter. He was 0-7 out of
Yeah.
Philly, and again he finished 7-9, and you have him in the starting rotation. I think this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let me talk about some of the guys. I'm like, let me talk about some of the guys who might have had good weekends that we could be possibly seeing coming up to the majors. I got
Yes.
two that I'm going to talk about.
Yes.
And both of them had great weekends. As I said, I think that Bailey Falter spot is going to fix itself.
I hope so.
He's eventually going to fall out. One of
It
these guys are
should.
going to come in. And again, we don't know how Marco Gonzalez is going to pitch next game. We haven't seen him pitch yet,
Yeah.
but there's definitely
Can't
you're
be
going to.
any worse than Bailey Falter.
So, of course, Paul Skeens is the big name.
Yes.
And he
Yes.
had his debut this weekend in Indianapolis. He threw three innings, gave up zero hits, zero runs, zero ERA, zero walks, and he had five strikeouts in the three innings. He threw 11 fastballs, and seven of them were plus 100 miles per hour plus.
What level was that?
Triple
Triple
A,
A. Okay.
Indianapolis, Altoona's Double A. So that was a dominant start. Dominant, like I said,
Yes.
five strikeouts, nothing else. And the other guy's Quinn Priester, who got his start the day after. He went 5 2/3 of an inning. He gave up one hit, one run, one earned run, one walk, and he struck out nine.
Yeah.
Nine.
And I was looking at Quinn Priester's like advanced analytic charts. They were nasty. They were filthy.
He's one of our top prospects.
Yeah,
This
he
is a
was
guy that's
pitching.
going to be up,
Yeah, he
and he was
struggled
up,
last year with
and he
us,
was
but
up last year,
he had
but he
that.
struggled.
But
But
he's doing well now.
him and
He's.
Paul Skeens, you get these two guys in this rotation on top of what you're seeing already.
Yeah.
Your 1-2-3, Skeens, Keller, Priester, Jared
Jared
Jones, come on.
Jones.
Let me talk about him for a minute. Can we talk
Oh,
about some
yeah.
good numbers? Jarrett
Oh.
Jones, the number three prospect of the Pittsburgh Pirate team, only became the fourth Pirate in franchise history to rack up 10 Ks in his first game.
He was lights out. The movement that he had, that stuff was just nasty. He was just throwing aspirins up there. Like last year in Triple A, he struggled. He struggled big time last year in Triple A, and he's just carrying over what he did in spring training. Strong spring training, and then just lights out that first start. Hopefully, he can keep it going. You know how it is in the pros. You get that first couple starts, they don't have a book on you, and they start to develop that book and figure out your tendencies. And I, but what we saw, man, this is very, very encouraging. You could have, my God, like you just said, the rotation, Skeens, Keller, Jones, Priester. That's a nice 1, 2, 3, 4 right there, especially, if Skeens develops the way we think he is, he's going to be that ace. And then you got Jones who's looking like he can be a good number two. Keller can be settled down into that natural spot where number three starter, Priester at
You know what
four.
this feels like to me,
You're
Mike?
looking like an actual legit baseball team,
This feels
baseball
like the
club.
2013, 14, and 15 team to me.
Yeah.
And let me explain why. Because the pitching depth is good in the rotation right now. This is going to be the rotation. And as I said, these other two guys are eventually going to come up. And when they do, that's only going to improve things. The bullpen is deep, which it was in those teams. And let me tell you, this lineup,
Yeah,
Mike, from
impressive.
top to bottom, every single person is a person that, you're watching a game and something's going your way and things are going your favor. And then you get to that guy that stinks and you know that he's going to get out or hit into a double play or strikeout. They really don't have that guy in the lineup, Mike, which is a very strange thing for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Maybe, we're talking about Jarrett Jones, the number three prospect. We're talking about Priester. We're talking about Skeens. Talking about all these guys. Maybe being bad so long is giving us the Pittsburgh Penguin effect. And this team that's being put together is almost going to be similar to the what happened in the early 2000s with the Penguins. Because as I said, you go top to bottom in this lineup, like every guy, I'm okay being at the plate in a do or die situation because every one of these people in this lineup, they're solid.
They are good, and they're like good everyday major league ball players. Or, we have, like Connor Joe, less is more with him, but he's that good guy that you need to rotate in and out of your lineup.
And think about him,
Zawinski,
Mike.
good
Think
power
about
hitter too.
that utility guy. A lot of times you're not totally happy. I'm totally happy with Connor Joe.
Me
If he
too.
needs to come in a pinch or whatever, I'm okay with that because he's a good enough ball player. And you've seen that, I think, in this first series. And it goes all the way into the bench. Mike, I feel confident. Am I crazy that I feel confident about this team 4 games into a 162 game season?
No. And like, because they're showing you what they can do, and like everyone's living up right now to their potential of what they should be able to do. And that's, we haven't had that in a long while. And don't forget too, like we want to talk about prospects. Tamar Johnson, our second baseman, he's down in A ball. He's projected in a couple years to be a damn good second base middle infielder. So now you got another guy who can play too. They actually have a, I won't say a great farm system, but they have guys in there too for the field too.
And they got a lot of guys, Mike, that's in Indianapolis and then Altoona that were up last year. We got to see Nick Gonzalez in the middle infield. He's going to be a guy that comes up and down. I mean, there's a handful of guys that are down now that you've seen on the team last year that if they keep improving their game, it's going to help this team in the long run, as far as depth for sure. But
And
there's a lot we have, we do have a pretty good farm system. And again, it's because we've been terrible for so long. We've been able to acquire and have these pieces in place. And I'm just wondering, can this be the year, Mike? Are we gonna ever see this team do anything that's worthwhile in our lifetime?
it all depends on how much money Bob Nutting's gonna let the GM Sherrington add to the roster. That's gonna be the thing. We have, like you said, we have pieces in place. Are they gonna make the key move to where if they are in contention, give up one of these young prospects to get that vet to help put, maybe put you over the top, do a little playoff run? Are they gonna, is he gonna be allowed to do that? And if he is allowed, is Sherrington gonna make the correct move to get that right guy? Kind of like how, you know, we got Mark, was the year we got Marlon Byrd. We needed that bat. Is, you know, are we gonna make the correct moves? That's what I'm worried about right there. Like the guys that we're putting out there day in, day out, for the most part, I trust them. It's gonna be the front office to build around them, to add the little pieces here and there. That's what I'm worried about.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the results they did accomplish in this opening weekend against the Marlins. We had nine players, guys, nine players with multiple RBIs this weekend. We had 46 hits, which was the third in the majors behind San Diego and the Dodgers. We ranked sixth in WHIP with a 1.08. Our opposing batting average, the teams that bat against our pitchers, a collective 201. A 201, Mike, which is the fourth best in the majors so far.
It's pretty good. Pretty
So
good.
anything that you put forward, with the exception of the start
Yeah.
by Bailey Falter, I don't think that you'd have many reasons for concern. But it, along the way, you're gonna, you know, this is one round of games.
Yeah.
We get round two today. The Pirates go at it with the Washington Nationals, who are 1-2 at Washington for a three-game series. Today's game one is at 4:05. So if you want to watch these battling Buccas to see if they can continue to do what they've been doing so far, they'll be playing at 4:05 today. Derpy, what's your thoughts on what's going on with the Pirates so far?
I love the I love your bullpen. Your bullpen's really deep so far.
Absolutely.
The bats, they're decent. They're decent.
You know what I would do with the back end of the
You could use a
bullpen?
piece.
Know what
Yeah.
I would do with the back end? I would put Bednar in front of Chapman. And I understand Chapman's what, 36 years old or whatever he is.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I'm watching the game yesterday, and Chapman, they put him in the eighth, and he blows every pitch by the bat. I mean, come on, they're wondering what the hell just happened to them. And then David Bednar comes in the ninth inning. He gives up a run. They tie it. We go to extra innings and then win. It just seems to me that Aroldis Chapman is just the overall more the dominant pitcher, despite whatever the age is. I don't get me wrong. I like Bednar, but you get a guy like Chapman. I want him in the ninth inning. I want him slamming the door shut. And another thing, if you have a guy throwing 100 miles an hour at you in the eighth, and you come back in the ninth and the guy's throwing at you 93 miles an hour, I think the advantage goes to the batters because now it slows down opposing to trying to catch up with the pitch at the very end of the game. I want a guy that's throwing plus 100 plus being the very last thing you see because all game long you haven't seen 100 miles an hour. You're tired. It's 3 hours later. I want the guy that could dominantly get the ball past the batter at 100 plus miles an hour to shut the door. Bednar, he has a heavy ball. You know, he's hard to hit, but it's a heavy pitch. I think that, you know, and I doubt it's going to happen, but I would love to see Aroldis Chapman be the closer and have David Bednar be the setup guy.
I'm willing to let it play by ear to see, you know, by feel and see how it goes throughout there. But I see what you're saying. How, you know, because my God, what's his Chapman's been a dominant closer for like almost
I mean,
a
it happened
decade now,
yesterday. The
over a
game
decade.
should have been over,
Yeah.
but it goes to
Yeah.
extra innings. We could have lost
Yeah. The
by
last
going.
time though, he was like a true closer was 2021, where he had 30 saves. Since then, he's only had about 15 total saves since then. So he hasn't been that guy in a while, but I see what you're saying. Yesterday, he looked like that guy of old.
They
And
couldn't
if
keep
you can
up.
recapture it, yeah, either way, what they have, I'm not opposed to one night Bednar's the closer, the next night Chapman's the closer.
And
Rotate them
you
out
know,
so they can
it's
keep
not like it's
their
an off-speed pitch going from one pitcher to the next. You literally know that you're going to get, you know, 6 to 10 miles per hour slower.
Yeah, but it's,
So
you know,
you go
I
into that
mean,
knowing if it's a pitcher changing his speeds and you don't know what's coming, that's a whole different thing. But as
but
I said, you're going from one pitcher going, you know, 100 miles plus to the next guy that throws a 94 mile per hour fastball. I think that that goes in the favor of the batter.
Well, it's all about, the movement on his fastball anymore, too. Does it still have that sick movement? Because you can throw a 100-mile fastball, but if it's in a straight line, not moving, the
Struck
guys
out
can
two
crush
and
it.
three.
Yeah, that's one game, though. And, the past, 3 to 4 years, he hasn't been the guy of old. But if he can recapture that magic, hell yeah, make him the closer.
I haven't seen anything that would indicate to me otherwise. Everything that I've seen from Chapman so far has been dominant. Of course, we will continue to watch
Yeah.
and we'll see.
Yeah. Whatever works, I'm for. Shit. Because
Absolutely.
you got
I mean,
Holderman, Bednar, Chapman, Holderman, Chapman, Bednar. That's a nice. My God, you can shut
Holderman.
the game down in seventh, eighth, ninth inning right there.
Holderman is
I
he's
think
working on
Chapman's
his
your most deep. Sorry.
Holderman is working on his rehab assignment
Yeah.
down in Double
But
A,
yeah,
so we may
once
see
he
him
gets
back
back,
soon,
yeah.
which is going to be a nice addition to this bullpen. What's
Yep.
that, Derpy?
I was just gonna say, I think Chapman's your most dangerous weapon you have
He is, and
in
there's
the
no two ways about it.
because
But
he's a two-time World Series champion.
and we're going to look at his numbers for the past year, and it's going to be unfortunate because, again, I think he's ultimately the best pitcher on this team when it comes down to it. But again, there's 160 game 162 game season, 158 more to go for the Pirates. We could easily finish this season undefeated, Mike. 158 more
Hey,
wins in
you
a
know
row.
what? Yes, sir.
Statistically, there is a small chance that it will happen. Just like me hitting my 14-leg parlay today.
And there you go. The
Stranger
Pittsburgh
things have
Pirates,
happened.
they did trade away right-handed pitcher JT Brubaker to the Yankees over the weekend. He's going to be traded for a player to be named later.
Might
Seems
as
like
well
a
just traded him for like, a bag of baseballs.
Well, it seems like this is what the Yankees do to us. They're like, give us
Right.
him. We'll give you something later. We'll get, and here we are. Okay, take our guys. We pass them along, and then we get, who you never hear about the guys we get later.
Like anyone who ever gets traded for a player to be named later, no one in that deal wins.
Yeah,
No one, they're a bunch of, like, we're gonna
was
trade
Bailey
you
Falter one of the players to be named later? I mean,
a,
it's guys like this,
like, really, that's what it is. Like, you get the guy that gets traded for a player to be named later is gonna suck, and then the guy you get back's gonna suck. Like, you're just trading garbage for garbage at that point.
Mike, let's get over to the ice briefly. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they finished the back end of a home and home on Saturday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They, if you guys remember, on Thursday they won at home 3-2. Malkin had a big game. Well, they got the second half of it played on Saturday. The Penguins fall 4-3 in a shootout. The Penguins are back in action today. They play against the Rangers tonight. Second half of Bucks and Pucks Monday. My Pittsburgh Penguins.
I thought they had something going. I thought they were gonna, rattle off
I
like
thought they
five,
owned
six
Columbus.
wins. But they turned into the typical Penguins, let's make some bad defensive plays. Let's not really battle and hope Sid can carry the way and that's all I gotta say about the Penguins. I am depressed.
All right, that it is a
I am
depressing
depressed. I
topic.
can't talk about it. Like, I see the
I'm
tweets on there, people going, I hate to inform you, it's another hockey day in Pittsburgh. I'm like, yeah.
That's low. That's a rock bottom right there.
It is, it is. Pretty soon we're gonna be wearing bags overhead going to the game.
No, I don't think it's that bad yet,
It's not
guys.
that bad.
Not that bad.
They're
It's not
just,
that bad yet.
my God, we had like 16 years of continued success.
Right. Be
trading the wife's favorite cousin's slightly athletic sons. Yeah, that's really about what it is. The player to be named later.
Good morning, P. Boy, did you drop it at the
Well, he
right
did
time?
too. I think he knew what
The
was
North
coming up.
Carolina State basketball team, the last team to beat them was the Pitt Panthers before they went on their amazing run. And not to mention the Pitt Panthers beat them twice this season. Now you have the Pitt Panthers land, or I'm sorry, the North Carolina State Wolfpack landing in the Final Four. Guys, your Final Four looks like this on Saturday. UConn, number one, beat Illinois, who's number three, 77-52. They wiped
Ooh.
them. The
Ooh. They
second
wolfed them.
game on Saturday was number four, Alabama, beating number six, Clemson, 89-82. So in the first two games on Saturday, UConn advances to the Final Four. Alabama, the football school, advances to the Final Four. On Sunday, Purdue, number one, over Tennessee, who's number two, 72-66. And finally, number 11, NC State, 76. Number 4, Duke, 64. This is your final four. UConn versus Alabama. Purdue versus NC State. This will go down Saturday. The winner of these two games go on to play Monday in the national championship. Mike, UConn, Alabama, Purdue, NC State. What do you think?
UConn's going to win. I think they're going to win easily. But I do kind of want Alabama to run the table just because, you know, they couldn't win the college playoffs for football. Let's see if they can win it for basketball. Get Bama a championship because that's all they're used to doing down there is winning. It's killing me. But no, I think UConn's going to win. And I want NC State to win. I want them to upset Purdue. I like that big guy that got at center for the Wolfpack. He's my hero.
But he's got a big challenge because he's facing the big guy for Purdue, who's arguably the best.
He's more athletic troops. Than him, yeah.
I mean, he's
the refs a dominant beast.
This guy, you know, the center for NC State's, you know, he's a big guy, but he's only 6'9".
Yeah.
So ultimately, I believe it's going to be UConn and Purdue in my national championship. I think that UConn coming back and defending their title, these guys are good up there. They could shoot. Mm-hmm. Purdue's been my team, so those are the two I'm going to stick with. I think NC State's Cinderella season ends this coming weekend. And Alabama for that matter too, but you got to remember they make it a whole event. It's not about the two teams that are in it. It's not about the team that wins a championship come Final Four weekend. It's all about the Final Four. It's the celebration of the four teams that made it. You're going to see so much about all four of these teams going into the weekend. And on Sunday, it's almost a letdown because it's like, okay, well the teams, you know, the four teams we got so used to hearing about and we're talking about, you know, two of them are gone, and we're going to finish up with these last two games, and that's going to be it, guys. This time next week, we're going to be getting ready for that last game of the NCAA college season. After March Madness, you don't want to see it go. I don't want to see it go. I want to keep this thing going because every weekend it's exciting. Come on, NC State over Duke. These two teams played each other three times in March. Three times in March. They're 1-1. Duke beat them at the end of the regular season. NC State knocks Duke out of the ACC tournament. And then again, of course, NC State wins yesterday. So three times in March, NC State beats Duke two of the times. You know, that's exciting. This UConn making their return trip to mm-hmm. try to defend their title. This is exciting. Alabama, this football school. I mean, here they are. They're in the Final Four. This is exciting. I don't know anybody who's not excited about watching this big man in Purdue. As I said, once it's over, it's over. I guess we're lucky in a sense because we do kind of have these, you know, the luck or the success going on with the Pirates. We kind of have something to go into after college hoops. But, guys, we have three games left, and that's it for college hoops.
Yeah, it's going to suck. This is the best time of the year for basketball for me. I love the tourney. It's the best basketball. The most exciting basketball, like with the drama and right. the stakes. You know, it's winner go home. It's my favorite tournament and yearly tournament in sports. It's gonna suck. I'm hoping Purdue loses. That big man's starting to annoy me. No one believed in me. You're 7'3" and you went to a basketball academy. People believe
well,
in you.
What I gotta take into what he said in the perspective. Two seasons ago, the team, you know, he was recognized nationally. Everyone started being in awe because he's such a beast. Last year, this Purdue team gets knocked out in the first round. It has that feel where this team is going to come back and do a lot of damage, which is what I based my pick off of. I like this team. I think they're very, very good. I think Purdue, in as P says on the board, haven't seen post moves like DJ since the 90s. You're right, you haven't. But they haven't played a guy like Eddie yet over in Purdue. I think that's going to be the ultimate that's going to be the neutralizer. I think Purdue wins this game. I just think that, listen, NC State's number 11 overall. They beat Duke, who wasn't that good of a team. We beat Duke. You got to remember, the Pitt Panthers beat Duke. As a matter of fact, we beat all the teams that are left from the ACC this weekend. We won against Duke. We won both games against North Carolina State. And yet we couldn't get into the tournament. But
that's going to be the banner we're going to hang in the peak. We beat these teams.
We beat every
team. We beat every team. We didn't make it, but we whooped their asses.
I just think the Purdue's on a whole other level.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, they're going to ultimately just be too tough for the NC State team in the strengths of NC State, as P mentioned on the board, it's going to be tough for him to overcome what the big guy on the other team can do to him. And he has to find a way to stop what the big guy on the other team can do. So it's going to be really interesting, guys. I think by, you know, it's not going to be a bad game by any means. It's going to be probably a very good game, but that's my pick. 7-4, but he didn't really start focusing on basketball until he was 16. Exactly. I mean, I don't know. I can't change my pick. I took Purdue, and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm feeling pretty confident. So we will see, guys. Caitlin Clark in the women's bracket. Caitlin Clark is going to be playing LSU tonight. Tonight, if you're ready, if you want to watch some good football or some good basketball, it's not done. No. You have the Elite Eight round being played between LSU and Iowa. It's 7:45. And then at 9:15, UConn and USC on the ladies' side. USC got that Juju. I can't think what her last name is, but the girls got a really good team. Juju Watkins. So you're going to see a lot of good women's basketball tonight. I will not be missing. We got Pirates. We got Penguins. We got Caitlin Clark. So there's going to be a lot of good sports today. One thing about Caitlin Clark I did want to mention, guys, is this. Remember last week how Ice Cube offered her that $5 million to come play in the 3-on-3 league?
Yeah.
It's an 8-game season with a possibility of 2 postseason games. So for 10 games, she can make $5 million. Her first year salary in the WNBA is $76,000.
So go play that. Get your 76 there and then sign. And you know she's going to get endorsements too. She'll make enough money to be set for life.
I would go to the 3-on-3 league, take that money, and I'd retire for life. You know what I mean? $5 million is enough for me.
$5 million, 2.5, invest that wisely. Shit, yeah.
And she makes 76. I mean, 76,000. I know people in my life that make $76,000.
Yeah.
How you don't go to the league? And I'm not saying that she's not, or she hasn't said anything. Yeah. But I would certainly go play 10 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an 8 games guaranteed. 2 games extra if they, you know.
8 games for $5 million. Then you start the WNBA season. Then on top of that, like I said, she's going to get endorsements.
Oh, she's going to make a killing in endorsements. That's probably going to be her main source of income, especially in WNBA where she's only getting paid $76,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I wouldn't blame her if she went and did it. I can, you know, get that bread. Make that bread.
Get that bag.
Get that bag. That's what the kids say nowadays. I know like 5 years ago, it was like, make that bread. Now it's get that bag. There we go. I'm old. I don't know.
Speaking of college girls, guys, did anybody notice this? It was brought to my attention. I seen a post on Facebook. The Texas NC State girls game at Portland over the weekend.
I saw this.
The space between the top of the key and the 3-point line on one side of the court was about 3 or 4 feet different than the top of the key to the 3-point line on the other side of the court. So it was observed and it was brought to the attention of the officials, and both teams agreed that it was okay since they were both going to get the equal amount of time on each side of the floor. They were going to roll with it. But how does this mistake be made for people that put these the paint and the lines and all that together on these courts? Mike, it was about 3 to 4 foot.
It was bad.
Further away.
It was bad. That's either someone's first day on the job or someone who just found out they're about to get fired and said, "You all right? You letting me go? This is what we're doing."
That top of that key was wild. Was about a foot.
Yeah.
From the 3-point line on the one side, on the left side.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it from the TV angle, and on the other side, it was probably about 4 feet from the top of the key and 3-point line.
Like, how do you miss that?
Like, that's wild. That is wild.
Yeah. Yeah, but like again, I do like how like you both said, you know what, it's affecting us both equally. Let's just go with it. I respect that. Me though, I would probably be like, hell no, I ain't playing this shit. Fuck you, man. But no, good
you're
for
a
them.
Stickler.
I would be.
But you know, it's just
but, you know, it kind of reminds me that you know in baseball.
How does that happen?
That is a major thing too. So many
These
people
girls,
have to
everybody
fuck
shoots
up.
So far away nowadays, so it probably doesn't even matter. Because a lot of times people
shoot
these threes, they all shoot further away. So I mean, it probably doesn't matter. But still, how does this accident happen? I mean,
that's a failure on a lot of levels, right there. Like you know, the person who did it, the person who should be double checking them, the person who should be double checking them. You know, it's just systematic failure. But it is funny though. I think it's comical.
But we do, guys. I want to go into, we got a little bit of football here going on. Pat Pete for the Steelers, a former Steeler, he says he doesn't want to start at safety if he does come back. He communicates this to Mike Tomlin. If I come back, I don't want to start at safety. He specifically has a demand. I'm personally fine with that. I don't want to see him starting at safety. You know, if he's starting
Right.
at safety, we're probably not going to be in a good position. But we brought in a safety. I think we're okay, Mike. If we bring Pat
Yeah.
Pete back for, you know, other things, I think we'll be fine with this, right?
Yeah, I think he's saying he doesn't want to immediately go to safety. He wants to try and see if he can play corner.
Which I think is the worst idea, but
Yeah, I know. There's got to be people out there. Hopefully, I don't know. This is what's getting worrisome is, the cornerback position and the wide receiver position. Like, depth issues there are starting to, actually worry me. But, Pat Pete, if he does come back, I would only let him play safety. He doesn't have the
no,
legs anymore to be
absolutely.
like, if we were a zone defense, yeah, I'd let him play corner. But we're a man defense for the most part, he can't play
And
corner.
here's the thing, we've seen him play for a year now. Last year we were a little bit more lenient. We were like,
Yeah.
okay, we could have him do this, do that. Well, we've seen him play, so now
Yeah.
I know where we want him,
Yeah.
and I think that would be fine. Also, Mike, the Steelers, they're not budging on a contract
Yep.
offer with Tyler Boyd, so that is, it's still out there, but both sides, they seem to be being very
Yeah.
stern.
And there's been no movement really anywhere for receivers. So I don't blame the Steelers for saying, no, this is what we're paying. And if you want it, come get it. And the price is only going to go down. Especially after the draft, once teams start getting receivers in, like now the time to make your money is before the draft. After the draft, teams more or less have their needs filled. And ooh.
DeMarvin Leal was announced as a possible trade bait candidate. Mike, would you be okay with DeMarvin Leal?
He showed flashes his rookie year, then couldn't get on the field at all this year with, all the issues we had on the D line. There are issues with him at practice and at throughout the facility. He even admitted he needed to grow up and work harder. And you know what? If we can get it's going to be a very late round draft pick for him. I'd rather have that than him right now. And hopefully, maybe a change of scenery will help him rejumpstart his career.
Finally, new center that could be a possibility for the Steelers that I've heard over the weekend is this Graham Barton out of
Yeah.
Duke. Graham Barton. Just in case you know, they may have something up their sleeve here. They may be looking at wide receivers. Obviously, we just talked about Tyler
Yeah.
Boyd and that not getting any closer to where we'd like it. But here in about 3 weeks, we are going to be having a draft, and
Yeah.
Duke center Graham Barton has been somebody that's been brought to the attention.
Yeah, he's that guy that, like, he's just out of nowhere being talked about as being the best center in the draft now, or being one of the. Or he can play right tackle too, so you can draft him and play either spot. He's that guy that I worry about late in the draft process that's coming out of nowhere all of a
Yeah.
sudden or being talked about. So is it real that have people like in the draft community have slept on him and they're finally actually talking to people in the league or going, hey, you know what? This guy's actually better than maybe JPJ, maybe better than Zach Frazier, and their league sources are telling them that. So it's. Right now, this time of the year, you get close to the draft. There's a lot of smoke screens, a lot of people rising up and down. You're wondering why. I guarantee you, people in the league are telling these draft gurus, oh, yeah, we really like this guy. So they want him to go high and the guy they really want to drop. So
And
it's.
the UFL kicks off this weekend, Mike. The spring football is underway. There was four football
Yes.
games on Saturday. The defending champions, the Birmingham Stallions, they beat the Arlington Renegades 27-14. Also, the Michigan Panthers, they knock off the St. Louis. Now, St. Louis is they're a favorite. The Battlehawks in the UFL, their fans, they turn out great. They're like DC. Those two cities had major turnouts last season, which helped them advance into this UFL league. But the St. Louis Battlehawks fall short to the Michigan Panthers 18-16 on Saturday. On Sunday, Mike, the DC Defenders, the other team that has a great fan base, they also fall 27-12 to the San Antonio Brahmas. And
Go
finally,
Brahmas.
the Memphis Showboats, they beat the Houston Roughnecks 18-12. Week one of the UFL is underway, Mike, and we got a little bit of football to watch here between now and then the NFL draft and even a little bit thereafter.
Yes, we do. Some of the I didn't have a chance to sit down and watch any of the games, but some of the highlights I saw, you got Brad Wing throwing a touchdown pass to the long snapper on the fake field goal. Anthony McFarland looking like a good running back. Unfortunately, I think like the UFL might be his level. Won't be an every down starter in the NFL, but every down starter in the UFL. And that's why I like this league. Guys that you saw in the pros that you wanted to see do well didn't pan out for some reason. And then they come down here and they can show you what they can actually do, show you why they're some of the best athletes in football. So that's fun to watch.
Also, Dravon Henry from Aliquippa, who was with New Jersey Generals last year, former West Virginia Mountaineer, and briefly a Pittsburgh Steeler. The safety, Dravon Henry, is on the St. Louis Battlehawks. If you are looking for some local connections, plus many, many more. Believe me, if you watch UFL football, you're going to start to see a lot of people from around here, which was a lot of fun. Mike, one other football story, NFL related. Rasheed
Oof.
Rice, wanted by the
Oh, I've
Dallas
seen
police
this.
after being suspended for causing a six vehicle accident. He believed to be, they, it's believed that he was racing his Corvette versus somebody in a Lambo, wrecked the car, and then caused a big accident. People got hurt, and they both took off, Mike. So as
Yeah.
of the last I heard, he's
They
still wanted.
yeah, they're still looking for him. I what is it with like young athletes and getting cars and going fast? Jogger used to do it all the time.
Now this is
This
Kansas
guy's doing
City's, this is Super Bowl winning Rasheed
yeah,
Rice.
Rashee Rice, who it was a big part of their offense last year, big part of their run as a rookie, stepping up big time. You have your whole future ahead of you, and you're going to do something stupid like this. We were young, we did stupid stuff like this, but my God, we didn't have millions of dollars on the line.
Mike, the crazy thing is, I agree with you 100%. But what you got to think as well, it's always such a small number. Him and Cam Sutton kind of were the clowns this so far this offseason.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's hundreds, thousands, how many ever people were in the NFL? It's
That
such a
don't aren't
small
doing stuff
percent.
like this.
So
Yeah.
exactly.
It's just magnified because of their profession,
Right.
what they do. I guarantee, there's doctors, lawyers, judges, police officers, firefighters that do stupid shit like this. You just don't
Absolutely.
hear about it because they're not in the national spotlight. I
Mike,
guarantee you, we've all known someone or worked with someone who's done something stupid like this.
why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about the website, man?
The2dumyinzers.com, the number 2DUMYINZERS.com. Over there, we got Ryan and I's social media links if you're new here. Excuse me. We got our merchandise store and we got the blog. I got a new one up today, just went live before we did the episode about Jared Jones' debut. So go check it out at the2dumyinzers.com.
Go check it out, everybody. A lot of good stuff over on the website. Go check it out. All right, guys. Today's question is going to be a Pittsburgh Pirates success question of the day. The trivia is going to be about Pittsburgh Pirates success. Here we go. You ready, Derpy? Put your thinking hat on, Mike. Here we go. What is the most amount of wins the Pirates ever had in a season? The most
Ooh.
amount of wins the Pirates ever had in a season. Mind you, this team's been around since 1887. Mind you that this team has been a very proud franchise until about 1993. So you go ahead and think this over, guys. One more time, the question of the day is, what is the most amount of wins the Pittsburgh Pirates ever had in a season? We're live, everybody, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day. And the show that we do brand new every day, we take and we upload it over onto Spotify in podcast form. If you would just rather listen to the show, maybe you missed a show, maybe you're at the gym and you just want to put your earbuds in, you could always go over to Spotify and listen to our brand new show every day after 8 o'clock p.m. when it gets uploaded. Go check it out. All right, guys, here is the question of the day. This is a Pittsburgh Pirates success trivia question. What is the most amount of wins the Pirates ever achieved in a single season in the majors? Derpy, I'm going to start with you. How many is the what's the most amount of wins the Pirates ever achieved in a single season?
Can I have choices or no choices?
Um, You know what?
Just throw a number out there.
Listen, I have the top five right here. So I'm going to give you the top five. Just no years with them. Let's see if that can help you out. All right, here we go. I'm looking for the most. Now that ain't going to work,
It
Derpy.
ain't
That's
gonna
not.
work because you're giving us
Okay.
the most. I
Yeah.
was gonna pick the higher
No,
number.
Derpy,
Okay.
I
Okay.
tried. I tried.
Now, if you wouldn't want year, you said
Yeah.
the year. Yeah.
I tried, Derpy.
So I know what Derpy has that fire alarm going. He's typing between each beep to find the answer.
105.
105. Is this your final answer?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna lock Derpy in on a 105. Mike, question of the day is this: what is the most amount of wins the Pirates ever achieved in a single season? Derpy says 105.
Let's go with 99.
99. Is this your final answer?
Final answer, baby.
All right, guys. Question of the day: what is the most amount of wins the Pirates have ever achieved in a single season? Derpy says 105. Mike says 99. The answer is the most amount of wins the Pirates ever achieved in a season. In 1909, 110 wins.
Oh, wow.
110 wins. I do have their second through fifth most amount of wins also. In 1979, they got 98. In 1960, they had 95. In 1925, they had 95. And in 2013, 94.
Oh.
All of those, 79 is a World Series year. 60 was a World Series year. 25 was a World Series year. And of course, 2013, we all remember that being 10, 11 years ago, that amazing season, actually, with the fun game against the Reds in the wild card play-in game. Obviously, unfortunately, not able to get by the Cardinals in the second round, losing that series 3-2 when they were 2-0. Was a pretty good team. Just couldn't get past that Cardinals team. They were
Nope. The
the
Cardinals team was
Cardinals.
tough.
I want to thank everybody for checking us out today. We appreciate each and every one of you, as always. We wouldn't do it without you. Also on the board, I want to thank everybody for participating as well. You guys always keep it interesting on the board. What, Derpy?
I got something.
Okay.
Tyler Boyd has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Really? No, this is an April Fool's
Yes.
joke. I could tell. Yeah.
That
Because Derpy,
was a miserable fail.
well, you would be way more excited if it did happen.
Yeah.
And the
I was
fact
saying,
that
I am like,
you're
I
right.
literally just refreshed Twitter before you said anything, Derpy. I'm like,
It was all in the tone. It was all in the
That
tone.
was all in the tone.
So that's another one. I'm
I
batting them away
tried.
today, Mike. I'm
I
batting them
You are.
away.
You're just.
Gotta wake up pretty early in the morning, Derpy. And he is, don't get me wrong, he's texting me at like 4 a.m. So he's up early in the morning. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off, man?
I got nothing. I've been scouring Twitter the last 5 minutes. I've seen nothing on there to really talk about fun-wise or how to fun-wise. How about this? Don't be driving your Lamborghinis and your Ferraris and your Corvettes 150 miles down the highway. There's other people on the road.
Derpy.
Brush your teeth twice a day.
There you go. Brush your teeth twice a day. I got two things here, guys.
Change your smoke alarm batteries, everyone.
Yeah, that too.
I
That
got
too.
two things in Hawaii. Matthew Ornelas was struck and hit by a hit and run driver 10 minutes after escaping prison. He escaped in Hawaii. 10 minutes later, he gets hit and killed by a hit and run driver. Talking about luck.
Oh my God, going from the
That's
ultimate
funny.
high to the ultimate
Ultimate
low.
low to the ultimate high to the ultimate low.
That's
And then
rough.
finally, we talked a little bit about some of the conspiracy theories last week. We're not going to get into it because we don't have any time. But one interesting thing that I did take away from the story of the one in Baltimore, guys, 2 minutes of the black box data from the cargo ship was missing. 2 minutes, 2 minutes, came up missing on the black box data. Something to think about. But guys, again, thank you everybody for tuning in today. We got a lot of sports going on today. We got Bucks and pucks. Hopefully the Pirates could keep things going. The Penguins at this point, come on, let's beat the Rangers, right? Women, W, I'm sorry, the women's college basketball, huge game tonight. A rematch between Caitlin Clark and what's the other girl's name? Angel Reese.
Angel Reese, I love their dynamic. Like Angel Reese said, oh, I love her, but when I'm on the court, I have no friends. I love that. I love that.
So lots of good things for us to talk about tomorrow to catch up on. Everybody, enjoy the day. Don't let the April Fools get you. Mike, Derpy, anything else before we go?
I got nothing.
Speak now. Forever hold your peace, Derpy.
I got nothing. I tried.
Now you
I tried to
try.
get him.
That's all right.
You tried, Derpy. A for effort, bud. A for effort.
But for Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, for Derpy, myself, the two dumb yinzers, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, no.